Seeking will not save me. Waiting will not save me, but faith in Christ will save me. Number 30. Weeping will not save me, though my face were bathed in tears that could not
allay my fears, could not wash the sins of years. Weeping will not save me. Jesus bled and died for me. Jesus suffered on the tree. Jesus waits to make me flee. He alone can save me. Working will not save me.
I'd like to turn first to Hebrews chapter 11 for one verse. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. It's been said that the Word of God is written about two men, the first man and the second man, the first man, Adam, and the second man, Christ. Oh, you say, wasn't the second man Cain? Adam was formed of God, and his first son was Cain, but Cain really was the first man all over again. He came from his father who was the beginning of a fallen race. And every man since that time belongs to a fallen race, belongs to a lost race, belongs to a ruined race from Adam's race. But there's a second man, and that's the Lord from heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, a man of a completely different order, a man come into this world of God, truly man and truly God. And in this little verse we read here to begin with, we read of two men. We read of the first man, Cain, and the second man, Abel. And I'd like to look tonight a little bit at these two men, but I would like to call special attention to this expression at the end of verse 4 about Abel. It says, he being dead, yet speaketh. Here was a man, I don't believe we read of one recorded word that he uttered. But yet from the ground his blood cries, and even today his voice yet speaketh. And tonight we would desire to draw a little bit from the passage of Cain and Abel, a voice of God. Here is one dead, still speaking a word to heart and conscience that would have to do with the first man and would have to do with the second man. And in this passage, see a beautiful picture of the love of God demonstrated in His gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the solemn responsibility that falls upon each one that hears His precious Word. So turn back first to Genesis chapter 4. Verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. We'll stop there for right now. We're not going to look into the third chapter tonight. Perhaps the story is known well enough to us, the story of Adam and Eve and how Eve, deceived by the serpent, took of that fruit forbidden for her to take of God. God forbade her and Adam to take of that fruit. She took it, deceived by the serpent, gave to her husband Adam, who with intelligence took of that forbidden fruit, and the human race was plunged into ruin. Man was lost, and his sins had separated between him and God. And so in this fallen condition, they're driven out of this Garden of Eden, and now they have this child, Cain. Cain, a descendant of the fallen man, Adam. And Cain goes to work. He goes to work in the field. And this expression here in verse 3, it says, in process of time, it came to pass. You know, there came a point in Cain's history that there was some recognition that he had to do with God. The very fact of that is that he came and brought an offering to God. And you know, there comes a time in your life, and perhaps you've filled your life with so many things, you've blotted out the idea and the realization that you have to do with God. But there must come that point in your life, and would to God that it would be tonight, that you would realize that you have to do with God. In process of time, there comes that point when you recognize there is no other way than you have to do with God. And in process of time, it came for Cain, and he brought an offering to the Lord. But oh, what a solemn situation we have here. In the earlier chapter, we find that God had cursed the earth because of man's sin. And now Cain, cultivating the cursed earth, takes the fruit of that cursed earth, and he brings that in his approach to God. In essence, he was denying his sinful condition before God. He came to God on the ground that what he had should be acceptable to God. He came and provided the fruit of a cursed earth and laid that before God as the basis of acceptance before God. You know, perhaps you've done that in your life. You've heard the expression, "I will worship God as I please," or words to that effect. But the whole premise is flawed. The whole premise is wrong. When it comes to God, we do not do anything as we please. We must come in God's way. And Cain had the background, the history, no doubt knowing from his parents how when their nakedness was exposed, their garment of fig leaf did not cover them from the holy and the all-seeing eye of God. No blood must be shed. The skin of an animal must be used to cover their nakedness. And perhaps you've gone on with a cloak of religiousness. Perhaps you've gone on with a profession that you're a Christian or something of that sort. But God demands truth in the inward parts. And profession alone will not stand before God. Religion will not make you acceptable to God. And I don't think that Cain was coming bringing the worst of his produce. No doubt it was the best and the finest that he had to offer. But it did not change the fact that it came from a cursed earth. And perhaps you do not come to God on the basis of your sins and all that you've done wrong. Perhaps you come to God in the line of what you've achieved and what you've done well to your fellow man or whatever it might be. But friend, if you come to God, you must come on the ground of your sins and that you're a sinner because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We have no righteousness. All our righteousness is or as a filthy rag. Oh, we're all as an unclean thing. We must come to God on the ground that we're lost sinners, that we have sinned, and that we're sinful to the core. You know what tells us in Romans chapter 5 that is by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Oh, you say, is that fair that I should be constituted a sinner simply because I belong to Adam's race? Well, you know, you have that nature that can do nothing but sin. But you know, God had given a provision for man, and it was called the law. And He said to man, "This do, and thou shalt live." If you only keep the law, there is the opportunity for you to live and live forever on earth, if you but keep this law. But oh, man could not keep it, because all have sinned. Because you and I have sinned, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Man may quarrel about the question of sin, but the matter of death proves that man is a sinner. I said in a conversation with a work associate one time, we were conversing in the car after making a little trip, and he said to me, "Bill, you're just a good person." And I said, "Well, I know better than that from my own experience, and I know that the word of God says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately or an incurably wicked." And I said, "I've sinned." And he said, "Well, we've all made our share of mistakes. But friend, we have sinned." And I would like to try to drive this point home tonight. That as descendants of Adam, we've fallen. We're a fallen race. We're an unclean thing. And all that we can bring to God is that which is unacceptable to Him. Oh, you say it's the best. But God did not have respect unto Cain's offering of the fruit of his ground. No, and God is not going to accept us if we come on the premise of what we've done, that we perceive in our mind is that which God should accept. So Cain approached God on the ground that he was not a sinner. He came to God on his terms with the produce that his hands had cultivated. Now Abel, he perhaps recognized the truth of what his parents had realized, that there was a lamb that he offered that was accepted.